If you'd like to turn with us in your Bible this morning to the portion of Scripture that we read together, the book of Romans, chapter 12, I'd like to draw your attention this morning to the verses 1 and 2 of our Scripture reading. Romans 12 and the verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And with God's word open before us, just let us come again before the throne of grace. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank the Lord that we are gathered together in thy presence this morning. We thank thee for the hymns that we have been singing together. We thank the Lord for this portion of thy word. We pray now that thou wilt take thy word and apply it to each one of our hearts by thy Holy Spirit. Continue with us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in the first 11 chapters of this epistle, explains to us the way of salvation. In the chapter 3, he points out our sinfulness whenever he tells us in the verse 23 of the chapter that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then it is further explained to us in the chapter 6 and in the verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. And so we're to realize, and it is underlined for us here, the sinfulness of our hearts. And this includes not only some, but it includes all men, each one of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we do thank the Lord that in Romans chapter 6 and the verse 23, that although that we have the first part of the verse that reminds us that the wages of sin is death, yet we thank the Lord today that we have the second part of the verse that tells us but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we do thank the Lord today for His salvation. And whenever we come to the Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul further reveals to us the way of salvation whenever he tells us in Romans 10 and verse 23, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we know, Lord, that there are many here today, and you have called upon the name of the Lord. You've been born again of the Spirit of God. You have become a possessor of eternal life. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. But whenever we're saved, that is but the beginning of our Christian life. It is not the end. It is but the beginning of our life. And it is to be the beginning of a life that is given in service to the Lord. If the Lord did not have a work for each one of His people to do, then He could simply save us and immediately take us to glory. But we know that that is not God's will for many. And we know that the Lord, whenever He saves us, He gives us a life to live, and that life is to be lived in His service, for His honour, and for His glory. And so here, as we come to this portion of Scripture this morning, we are to realize that being in Christ has a practical outworking in our lives. Let us ask ourselves the question this morning: what impact has coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ upon our lives? How have our lives been changed? How are we different from the world today? Some time ago, I was reading the story of the life of C.T. Studd. He was a man who was In his early days, he was an outstanding county and all England cricketer, way back in the year of 1880. He was a young man. He studied at Cambridge University. He was the heir to a great family inheritance, and it looked as if he was going to have a bright future as far as the world was concerned. He had wealth behind him. He had great ability, and it looked as if he was going to have a lustrous career. But C.T. Studd, he gave up cricketing fame. He gave up a family fortune, and he followed Hudson Taylor as a missionary to China. And after spending some 21 years both labouring for the Lord in China and later in India, he returned home broken in health. But although broken in health and in physical frame, the desire of his heart was that he might serve the Lord. And even though that he returned home broken in health, he received a renewed call from the Lord to his work. At this time, the call was to go and to serve the Lord in the land of Africa. And so at age over 50 years of age, he was preparing to leave behind his family in England and set out in utter reliance upon the Lord to go to Africa. There were many who questioned the wisdom of such a course. There are many who questioned his actions. But C.T. Studd had a little postcard on his desk, and it simply read that if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. And so here this morning, as we come to our text, the Apostle Paul directs our attention to some practical matters concerning our lives and our service for God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I would like this morning for a little time to consider our lives as a living sacrifice for God. There are five things that I'd like to present before you this morning. And first of all, there is here an exhortation that we should heed. The Apostle Paul here, he beseeches us, he pleads, he exhorts, he says at the beginning of the verse, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. The pivotal word here is the word therefore. It connects the section that has gone before with what he is now saying. And remember that the section that has just gone before is doctrinal. It's teaching us what we should believe. But following on, we have the practical implications. You see, there is an indissoluble unity between our doctrine, or between the doctrine and the life of a believer. What we believe is very closely connected to our lives. The two are inextricably linked. He tells us here, therefore, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. These mercies are the theme of the previous 11 chapters. It is the mercy of God that is the foundation stone of every blessing that we have in Christ. We're reminded in the book of Titus in the chapter 3 and verse 5 concerning our salvation, that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, and by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. My friend, it is by God's mercy that we have his salvation today. The mercy of God. Why should we have the Lord to rule over us in our lives? The reason is because that he is the one who has shown great mercy towards us. He is the one who has paid the price for our redemption. He reminds us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, wherein we're exhorted to walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. The Lord Jesus Christ has set his love upon us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has given himself for us. He is the one who has paid the price for our redemption. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. And so this day, whenever we consider the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done upon the cross at Calvary, as we consider the great mercy that he has shown towards us in redeeming us, then I believe it is but right that we should give ourselves to him, that we should seek to serve the Lord in all and every aspect of our lives. The Lord has saved us. The Lord has saved us from the flames and the torments of hell forever. The Lord has given to us an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that passes not away in the kingdom of heaven. We're in Christ. We're in Christ. And why are we the people that we are today? The Apostle Paul, whenever he considered himself, he said, or he reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, he says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." And I pray that that would be so of us today, that we would be mindful of the grace and of the love of God that he has shown towards us in our lives, and that we would be even as Samuel, of whom we read in the Old Testament scriptures. Do you remember what Samuel, what his desire was? And Samuel, he answered and said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear." And I pray that that would be the desire of our heart today, that we would hear the Lord speaking to us and to each one of our hearts through his word. But then also, as we consider this exhortation, let us consider also the reason for the exhortation. Look at the end of the verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Reasonable service. You see, there is nothing unreasonable with what the Lord is saying to us here. That Greek word that is translated service speaks to us of service for the Lord. It's a word that is used in connection with service in the tabernacle. And as we consider it, we're to realize that the implication is that we should give ourselves to the Lord in his service. That we are seeking, that we serve not ourselves, but that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. That we yield completely and entirely to the Lord Jesus Christ. That we give ourselves to worship our God. That we give ourselves to seeking the Lord. As God's people today, we are to be a people who are consecrated to our God. We're to be a people who declare their love, who declare their allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our allegiance to him because of the great love and the mercy that he has shown towards us. We're reminded in John chapter 14 and verse 15 that if you love me, keep my commandments. In the verse 21 of the same chapter he says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." You see, today if we say that we love Christ, we say that we belong to Christ, and we hold dear to this book, then it must show itself in our actions. It must be show itself in the ways of our life. There is to be a thankfulness. A thankfulness. And you know, just as we're, whenever we should show thankfulness and appreciation to those around us for their love and for their kindness, But above all, we should show thanksgiving and appreciation to the Lord for all of His benefits and for all of His kindness. Our appreciation should not just be in words, but in deed. Genuine thankfulness will long to express itself with more than words. It will prompt us to give something in return for what we have received, not as a payment for the debt, but as gratitude for the gift that we have received. An example of this, I read a little piece just some time ago. In Africa and Tanzania, there are people there who live in the banks or on the slopes of Mount Kilimanjaro. People called the Chaga people. There's a missionary family who lived in there among this people. And one day the missionary, whenever he was driving home from the town, he saw a man by the side of the way. He was walking with great difficulty. He had been ill. He had visited a clinic for medicine, and the missionary gladly gave him a lift on his way home. And some days later, the man came to the home of the missionary. His little girl was with him, carrying a large bunch of bananas, almost the same size of herself. And the man, speaking to the missionaries, referring to their kindness and giving him a lift when he was ill, he had come to say thank you by bringing, as it were, some of the produce from his field. It was an expression of kindness, an expression of thankfulness. And if that be the case with those out in the, as it were, in the darkness of Africa, should it not be so with us, and especially of us in relation to our God and what He has done for us? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There is an exhortation that we should heed. But then secondly, there is a presentation that we should make. We're called upon here to present our bodies. The reference is here to our minds, our ears, our hands, our tongues, our hands and our feet. Every part of our body, every faculty that we have, is to be given to the Lord. You see, before we are saved, we use our minds and our hands and our feet, as it were, in pleasing ourselves and going in the ways of the world. But whenever we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to give ourselves to Him. He says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. God is calling upon us to present ourselves, to present ourselves, all that we have, all that we are, to Him, to be used for His honour and for His glory. That word present means to place at one's disposal. We're to place ourselves at the Lord's disposal. We're to give ourselves to Him. You know, many people today have the idea that they can please God with a partial surrender of their lives. They imagine that they can serve God in part. But you know, we cannot serve God with less than our all. It is all or nothing. There is no half measure. There is no half measure whenever it comes unto saving the Lord. We have mentioned there's a contrast. What we are before we are saved with us whenever we are saved. In Romans 6 and verse 12, we're reminded, let not sin therefore reign on your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We're to give ourselves to the Lord. And you know, this giving of ourselves to the Lord, it's not for a day or for a week or for a month or for a year. It is to be for all of our lives. It is something that is forever. It is forever. are given as a complete surrender. Complete surrender to Christ. And then as we consider further this presentation that we must make, it is something that is voluntary. It is something that we do because of what the Lord has done in our hearts. It is something which is complete. It is something which is sacrificial. Our own ambitions give way to Christ. In all things we seek for the mind of Christ. We seek to bring our lives in conformity to Christ. In all that we think, in all that we say, in all that we do, we desire to think as Christ would think, to say as the Lord Jesus Christ would say, to do as the Lord Jesus Christ would do. We're to give ourselves to the Lord. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for we know not what, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Ye are not your own. We're in Christ today, we belong to Christ. But then also in this presentation that we make, we are further instructed that we are to be those who are holy. Holy. That means that we're consecrated, we're set apart. Set apart for the Lord and His service, set apart for the Lord and His work. Do you remember what the Lord said to the children of Israel whenever He brought them out of the land of Egypt? In Leviticus 11 and verse 45 He says, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. And just as those words were spoken to the children of Israel when they were brought up to the land of Egypt, so I believe that they also apply to us whenever the Lord saved us and brought us out of the bondage and corruption of this world. We are to be a holy people. We are to be those who serve the Lord. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 74, we're reminded that we're to serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. I pray that it might be so. I pray that it might be so. That we would seek to be a holy people, set aside, consecrated unto the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Then also we are to realize that this sacrifice, it is acceptable, which means well-pleasing. We cannot come to God and offer just any old thing. Why, whenever it came to the sacrifices of the Old Testament, whenever the lamb was to be given as a sacrifice, oh, there was a temptation to take the lamb that had the lame foot or the lamb that didn't do so well and take, as it were, the second best of the flock and give that unto the Lord. But you know, that doesn't do with God. We have to give the Lord the very best. We have to give the Lord our all. And so it is whenever we come to ourselves. We're to give the very best of our time, the very best of our effort in anything we do. Whatever the Lord sets before us to do, whether it is the teaching of the children in the Sunday school or the children's meeting or day school or whatever aspect of service you're engaged in, we're to give our very, very best. Not to hold back. Give the Lord our very, very best. Someone has said whenever a life is given to the Lord and sacrifice in His service, someone has said it honors Him like nothing else can. It proves His power. It shows His glory. It tells the lost world that God makes a difference in the lives He touches by His power. And it is so. The Lord does make a difference in the lives of those whom He touches with His power. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yes, there's an expectation that we should heed. Yes, there's a presentation that we should make. But then thirdly, there is a separation that we must face. Look at the verse 2 of the chapter. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We who are the people of God, we need to realize that the world and the ways of the world and the flesh, they're all around us. And we need to be determined that, come what may, that we will go through with God irrespective of what the world thinks about us or what the world is doing. The spirit abroad in the world today is that we must fit in as best we can with the world. That we might have the Lord, but we'll also have the world. We'll live as near to the world as we can. We'll live as near the music of the world and the ambitions of the world and the dress of the world. Well, you know, my friend, the Lord requires it all. And you know, if something is not right, then we should stay away from it. If we know that there's something that is not in conformity with the Word of God, then it is wrong, and we need to separate from it. Bob Jones, the founder of Bob Jones University, he used to say, he said, do right though the stars fall, irrespective of the consequences. You know, sometimes maybe we'll just take a different line just because it will give us an easy life. Different line in case it will annoy someone. But you know, if something is wrong, then if it is wrong, it is wrong. Whenever we think of Moses was brought up in the royal court with the royal family of Egypt. He was a young man who had great potential as far as Egypt was concerned. He was destined to be a ruler of the nation. He was destined to have at his disposal all of the pleasures of the world in his day. Nothing that he would have desired would have been withholden from his hand. And yet Moses had that wisdom that the Lord alone can give. And we have his testimony. We have it in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, when that is recorded, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, I pray that it would be so with us, especially today of the young people who are in our midst. Many temptations will be set before you. Many things would appear before you to dazzle you and to attract you. But remember Moses. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, today if we have a heart that is right, a heart that is in tune with God's word, then we will seek to walk in the ways of the Lord. Not to be conformed to this world, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not to be conformed to this world. That means to be fashioned and to be shaped. It means literally to mold. And we are not allowed to allow this world to mold us. We are not allowed this world to make us like it. The ways of the world are different from the ways of God. The ways of the world are contrary to this book. The ways of the world are different. What is it that makes a storyline in the newspapers today? What is it that makes a story in the TV programs? Is it not the ways of sin and of wickedness? The Lord tells us in His Word, and reminds us in His Word in Philippians 4 and verse 8, whenever the Lord tells us, His finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those are the things that we are to give ourselves to. Not the things that very often are portrayed in the TV screen. Not the things that are portrayed by the world. We're to give ourselves to the Lord. A counsel that we're given by the Lord. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. The Lord tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We cannot have the world and have Christ as one or the other. And I pray today that each one of us in Christ, that we are fully surrendered to the Lord. It reminds us, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, he tells us, set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth. Things of this earth are here for a little time, for a little season. The things of God are eternal. And they are those things that are of eternal worth. But then fourthly, there's a transformation here that we will know. Look at the verse 2 again. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. There is to be a renewing of our mind. The word transformed here gives to us the English word metamorphosis. And it's a word that is used to describe whenever you have a caterpillar that transforms itself into a butterfly. I'm sure you've seen on a cabbage plant that during the summertime you have all these creepy crawlies, these caterpillars that gobble up the cabbage. And after a time, those caterpillars which have gobbled up your cabbage, so they will turn into a butterfly. There is a complete change. There's a transformation that has taken place. And that is a picture of what happens whenever a sinner comes to Christ. They have a new life. They're transformed. They are changed. They're a new creature in Christ. Completely different. You look at a little caterpillar and gobble up your cabbage plant, it looks completely different from the butterfly that's fluttering about. Different. Change has taken place. And so it is whenever we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. And that work is only accomplished by the power of God. It's only the Lord that can do that. Or we're to give ourselves to the Lord. We're to give ourselves to the reading of His Word and to prayer. I wonder if you were to reflect back on your life this past week. Have you maintained your daily devotional time with God? Have you spent time every day reading your Bible? Have you spent time every day in the place of prayer? Now we say that is vital for the growth in the Christian life. And if it's not there, there will be no growth. We must give ourselves to reading the Scriptures. And I pray that you're able to say today, yes, I have spent time with the Lord this past week. Every day I have spent time reading my Bible. I have spent time with the Lord in the secret place. If we're to grow in grace, that must be so. And this is something not only for whenever we are in our time of work, it also applies whenever we're on holiday. Not to forget about the Lord and His Word. We're to give ourselves unto the Lord. In all things we're to seek to the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. But then, finally, the confirmation that we will have. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here the Apostle Paul, there's a threefold description of the will of God. He says, first of all, that it is good. No matter what the Lord may ask us to do, we will find in the end that it is good. It may sometimes may seem to be a hard way. It may seem to be a way that is fraught with many difficulties. It may seem to be a way that will cause us much loss. But at the end of the day, it is a good way. The will of God is good. It is the devil in the flesh that will tell us that the Lord will keep back from his people that which is good. That was a ploy that he used in the Garden of Eden. And it is a ploy that he will use. It worked then and it will also work today. The devil will come and he'll tell you the Lord is keeping back that which is good from you. But the Lord doesn't do that. The Lord doesn't do that. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Joseph, whenever he was cast into the prison in Egypt, to all intents and purposes, it seemed that everything was gone against him. But he reminds us in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." The Lord turned the situation around. And you know, whenever things are difficult, you're seeking to walk the right way. And in seeking to walk the right way and do the right thing, things may sometimes appear difficult. But remember, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 is in the scriptures. And we know that all things work together for good unto them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Let us not be afraid of the will of God, my friend, because the will of God, it is good. But not only is it good, we're told here that it is also acceptable. That is, it is something which we will be ready and willing to do. It will be acceptable. And not only is it acceptable, it is perfect. God's plan is a perfect plan. When God reveals his will to us, he knows the end of the matter before the matter begins. Very often we may not understand. Very often the illustration has been given of the tapestry that appears in the wall. On one side you see a beautiful picture, but the other side is just a mass of tangled thread. And sometimes we only see the mass of tangled thread because we're looking at it from a human perspective. But we turn it around and see it from the heavenly perspective. We see that it's part of God's perfect plan. The Lord knows the path that we take. He knows the obstacles. He knows the valleys that we will pass through on the way. But my friend, God's plan cannot be improved on. Cannot be improved on. It is the very best there is. And if we follow it, it'll bring blessing. It'll bring victory in our lives. We can be in no better place than in being in the perfect will of God. We can be in no better place than walking with the Lord. Whenever we yield ourselves, the Lord will be able to prove him. The will of God is that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And I pray that each one of us would know what it is to be in the will of God and to know that will which is good and acceptable and perfect. May the Lord be pleased to grant it to us. And may we be those who perfectly or fully surrender to Christ. You know, in the old Roman coins, they were stamped on one side with the figure of an ox. And between, or the ox was in the middle, and either side, on one side there was an altar, on the other side there was a plough. And the inscription read was, "Ready for both," or "Ready for either." And that should be a picture of the people of God. We are those who are completely surrendered to Christ. We're ready for service, ready for sacrifice, whatever the Lord would require of us. Just in closing, this reminds us again of C.T. Studd. Whenever he was embarking to go to Africa, and my people were questioning the wisdom of what he was about to do and of what he was endeavouring to do. And he simply said that on a card that was a postcard on his desk, those words that he had penned, he said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him." I pray that we would be determined to go through with God, that we would engage in exploits for the Lord. C.T. Studd, at that time, the government was opening up. It was the Congo in those days, and Why, whenever there was the news of opening up of this country for exploration and for trade, there was news that there was gold to be found in that country. And with that news, there was many people, a great multitude of people. My, they gathered ready for ever the government made the declaration that the country was open for trade. And you know, whenever C.T. Studd thought upon that, and of the fact, he said if such men hear so loudly the call of gold and obey it, can it be that the ears of Christ's soldiers are deaf to the call of God? Are gamblers for gold so many, and gamblers for Christ so few? And you know, it is the same today. Companies across the world are going into countries which are countries in different parts of the world, in different parts of Africa, setting up business to make money. And yet, there's so few who are seeking to serve the Lord. So few who are desirous to win others for Christ. And whether it be here or whether it be across the sea, are we seeking to win others for Christ? Are we seeking to win others for Christ in the Syrian district of Kilkeel? Seeking to win others for Christ throughout the land? Seeking to win others for Christ throughout the world? Why, whenever there's a business opportunity, plenty of people ready and willing to engage, but make a few pounds, my will be there. But what about whenever it comes to serving God? I pray that we will give ourselves to the Lord. Let us remind ourselves of the words of our text, and let us hide the word of the Lord in our heart. Remember the words of our text today. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I pray that it might be so. Our time is gone. We will just close our meeting with a word of prayer. Let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank the Lord that thou dost speak to us today through thy word. We thank the Lord that we have an open Bible. And O Lord, we pray that thou wilt apply thy word to each one of our hearts. But O Lord, we are very conscious today that before men and women can seek to serve the Saviour, that they must first come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Saviour. And O Lord, today we pray that if there be any in our midst who are strangers to grace, if there be any in our midst and they're still carrying the burden of the guilt of their sin, we pray that this day that they might be able to come to the foot of the cross and there to cry unto thee for mercy. We thank you, Lord, that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And we pray that this day that there might be those who will come and seek and find the Saviour, and that they too will seek to engage in a life of service for the Heavenly Master. And so, Lord, we pray that thou will draw us all out after thyself today. We pray, Lord, that we truly will be a people who hide thy word in our heart. Keep us close to thee. And we pray now, Lord, as we part, that thou will be pleased to give journey mercies and bring us back in the evening time in the gospel. And we pray, Lord, as we meet around thy word in the evening time, that men and women will come to hear the way of salvation. And Lord, that there will be those who will come to know thee as their own and personal Saviour. Part us now with thy fear and with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen.